Our study today will take us into the book of Genesis and chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Before we read from the Word, let us bow for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just about to read from the sacred page and to study Thy Word. Grant that our study today shall be for the edifying of all who are listening and for the glorifying of Thy beloved Son. Hear us in this and bless all Thy people everywhere today for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. If you have your Bible handy with you, follow me through as I refer to some of these verses as we study chapter 6. But if you happen to be in some place where you cannot have your Bible, why don't you make it your business sometime today to sit down quietly and take your Bible and read again this chapter and think a little upon the things that I'm about to say. Genesis chapter 6. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. We shall stop in our reading there for a moment or two. We shall refer to other scriptures later on. Now let me draw your attention to some things that may interest you by way of introducing chapter 6. If you can recall some of our past studies, you will remember that in speaking concerning chapter 1, how often it spoke that God saw. And in chapter 1, God saw everything he had made and declared it was very good. But when we come to chapter 6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Oh, what a contrast. When God created things in the beginning, it was very good. But from the time of Adam to the time of Noah, things had deteriorated to such a degree that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now I hope that none of my listeners are deceived by people who try to tell us that the world is getting better and that very soon by methods of legislation we shall be able to usher in a utopia. My friend, the tide of evil is strong. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. Man cannot by his own efforts make things any better. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. But when we moved into chapter 2, God instituted the marital relationship between husband and wife. One man, one woman. A man and his wife. What God had joined together, let no man put asunder. That was God's original order. It was God who instituted the marital relationship. When we come to chapter 6, this relationship is violated by the sons of God taking wives. Now, whatever may be the meaning of this passage, it is clear that in the final analysis, that this unholy alliance was a violation of God's revealed order. And a device of Satan to corrupt the human race in order to prevent the coming of the Redeemer as the seed of the woman. You see, the devil knew that God had prophesied, Genesis 3:15, that the Redeemer would come through the channel of the human race. Now here in chapter 6, we find the devil is trying to corrupt the human race. Chapter 3, God in mercy covered fallen man with a coat of skin. That gave him a standing in the presence of God. Now here in chapter 6, God decides to cover the earth with a flood of judgment. Now, in chapter 3, if man is covered with a coat of skin, that gave him an acceptance with God. But here in chapter 6, the earth is rejected, man is rejected, and God's judgment falls upon him. In chapter 4, we saw the development of a world civilization without God. Cain doing his own thing, setting up his own culture, his own civilization, without God. In chapter 6, we have the conclusion and the condemnation of that civilization by God. I wonder how that fits in with present-day ideas. In chapter 5, there was a record of death in each generation, with one exception, the exception of Noah, Enoch. In chapter 6, we have the record of human corruption, with the exception of Noah. Now, when you come to verses 1 through 5, and also read verses 11 through 13. In verses 11 through 13 it says, "And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." So as you read those verses, you're faced with the wickedness of the world. May I suggest there was wickedness in thought. Their minds were corrupt. There was wickedness in action. They delighted in things sensual. There was wickedness with its result, corruption and violence. This is a description of the total depravity of humanity when trying to live without God. And only divine intervention can provide the remedy. Now, in connection with Genesis chapter 6, each Christian would do well to read and study Matthew chapter 24, and in particular, look at verses 37 through 39 of that chapter. And you will discover this, that these very features or characteristics outlined to us in the book of Genesis are finding a parallel at the present time. The days in which we live correspond to these days in which Noah lived. If there was wickedness in thought at that time, with corruption of the mind, we're living in days when people's minds have been corrupted again. Perhaps corrupted by what they see, corrupted by what they read, corrupted by the language that they hear. Wickedness in thought, the mind had been corrupted. Also, there was wickedness in action. They delighted in things sensual. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. I wonder, my friend, when you think of corruption and violence today, remember corruption and violence is the outcome of thought and action. So here we have a description of what we're faced with at the present time. You must admit with me that the earth is corrupt today. Corruption is all around us. Even the little ones are having their minds corrupted. And it's leading to violence. The powers that be are telling us today they cannot find the answer to all the violence. Crime is on the increase. Crime is violence. You talk of it in these terms, violent crime. And people today are acting with violence, all because their minds have been corrupted. Now, if that was true in the days of Noah, remember the Lord says, "As it was, so shall it be." And at the present time, we are seeing again, as it were, a great, massive tide of corruption and violence, the wickedness of the world. Now, we also have in this chapter the warnings of God. In verse 3, you find God in consultation. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. When you come to verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Here is a divine consultation. In chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, you hear God saying, Let us make man. But here in chapter 6, God is saying, I will destroy man. The same God who had a right to make man has the right to deal with man as he sees best. Then I want you to note the divine observation. Verses 5 and 12. In verse 5, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 12 says, And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Here we have divine observation. When God observed his handiwork in creation, God said it was very good. But now God observes wickedness and corruption and departure from the true way. You see how soon man turned away from the good ways of God, how man turned his back upon the good things of God. And because that man rebelled against God, he was prepared to go in the path of wickedness. He was prepared to allow his mind to become corrupted. He was prepared to depart from the true way. And God observed this thing. You know, my friend, it's a good thing when we sit down quietly and contemplate this great truth that God takes note of all that's going on. There's not an empire that rises, but God knows about it. There's not a man elected into office, but God is behind the scenes. There's not a little sparrow that falls to the ground, but your heavenly Father takes note of that. There's nothing too big or too great for God to take note of. And there's no incident too small, but he can take note of that. You talk about the power of the computer age. And what man can store now in computers. Oh, my friend, men are only like little grasshoppers, jumping around on the circle of the earth, as to compare with the greatness and the ability and the authority of our great God. God observes. God knows exactly our movements. He knows our thoughts. But I want you to notice also divine revelation. In verse 13, it says, And God said unto Noah, you see, here now we have divine revelation. God revealed the destruction of all flesh. It's man's condemnation. He said, The end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. See, man had gone so far, there was only one thing left, and that was divine judgment. But now, while there is the revelation of destruction of all flesh, which speaks of man's condemnation, someone might say, well, couldn't God supply some means whereby man could be preserved from that judgment or from that condemnation? Well, that is exactly what man did, what God did. Here we have the divine revelation where he gives a description of the ark. And this ark is for man's salvation. He says to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. Now you see, God now is giving us the divine revelation. First, he reveals the destruction of all flesh. That's man's condemnation. Then God reveals the description of the ark for man's salvation. Then God gave a declaration of his covenant for man's preservation. So therefore, when you think of God's judgment coming upon the earth, also bear in mind that God did provide a way of salvation. I should take note of this right now, that while it's true that this old world is falling further and further into the cesspool of sin and corruption, and the day of God's judgment again is drawing near for this old world, I trust that every one of my listeners shall be clear in their thinking with regards to this. There is no need for a man or a woman just to rush on and wait for the judgment. God has provided a way of escape. God has provided a way for your preservation. But remember, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is provided alone in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior that God has provided. In the days of Noah, the ark was the only means of salvation. As we shall see in studies to come, that only those who went into the ark were saved. Those who refused to go into the ark perished in the judgment. So therefore I trust, if God gives his warnings, that you will be wise enough to listen to the warnings of God. Also, I notice in this chapter, we have the witness of Noah. In verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect, that is, he was upright in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Oh, what a testimony, what a witness for this man. Notice, this man bore his witness in the midst of wickedness. All around him was a wicked world. He was living in the midst of wicked men. Yet, his walk, his manner of life signifies that this man had an acceptance with God. It also places before us the idea that this man was in agreement with God. Now the rest of those that lived with him were in disagreement. They were in rebellion against God. They didn't want God to interfere with their way of life. They wanted to conduct their lives the way that they decided was best for them. Why should God interfere? But in the midst of that, here was a man who, by the manner of life that he lived, proved that he was in agreement with God. And then he had the approval of God, for God was able to speak to Noah. He was a just man, upright, and Noah walked with God. He was in fellowship with God. But then there's the witness of his words. Have you ever thought that Noah was a preacher? Of course, we've already taken note in a previous study of a man called Enoch. Now, Enoch was a preacher. You know, Enoch was a preacher of judgment. Enoch warned ungodly men about their ungodly deeds. told them that God would deal with them for their ungodly deeds and the ungodly lives that they lived. But when Noah came on the scene, Noah also was a preacher, but he preached a different kind of message. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible tells us. But while he was a preacher of righteousness, he was a man who prepared for coming judgment. Now, if you add these three things together, Enoch reminded them of their sin, their ungodly deeds. Noah preached righteousness, but both these men together not only preached, but prepared for coming judgment. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, he taught that when the Holy Spirit was given, that the Holy Spirit would reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. He says, of sin because they believe not in me, which means that unbelief is the greatest sin of this age. Then he would convict the world of righteousness, he said, because I go to the Father, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So therefore, when the Holy Spirit lays hold upon the conscience, men and women will be convicted or reproved of their sin, reproved of righteousness, and of judgment. My friend, where do you stand? In the days of Noah, they knew about their sin, that God would judge it. They knew about the standards of God's righteousness, although they failed to be obedient to these standards, and they had to take the judgment of God. At the present time, men are still convicted of their sin, but they still live in sin. You can tell men about God's standards of righteousness, they don't want that. When you speak to them about coming judgment, they scoff and scorn at the very idea. But remember, God's principles will stand the test. Not only the test of time, but the test of eternity. Notice the witness of Noah's work. In verse 22, here is what we read. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. There was the response of faith. The man did exactly what God told him to do. This was a work of faith because Noah believed God. In the New Testament, we read that Noah, being warned of God, prepared an ark. And in preparing that ark, he obtained salvation. And then by preparing that ark, he condemned the world. This was a work of faithfulness because Noah did all that God commanded him. Now, when you think of these great truths in Genesis chapter 6, my friend, don't push them off like some people who think these are only myths. Here is God's authentic record of what happened in the days of Noah. He was living in a wicked world. So are we. He received the warnings of God. So have we. Noah was a man who bore his witness for God in the midst of a wicked generation. You and I can bear our witness now. We'll take our stand either for God, against the wickedness of men, or we take our stand with wicked men and reject God. What will it be for you?